You're listening to New Retirement Radio, brought to you by the team at Prout Financial Design.
Hello, I'm your host, Certified Financial Planner Dennis Prout.
I'm Heidi Cartwright, Financial Advisor and RICP.
I'm Deanne Jennings, and I'm here to share data and dive into the world of finance with you.
Advisors associated with Prout Financial Design may be either 1, registered representatives with and securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA SIPC, and investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, or 2, solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, and not affiliated with LPL Financial. Investment advice offered through CG Advisory Services, a registered investment advisor, CG Advisory Services, and Prout Financial Design are separate entities from LPL Financial. Dennis Prout and Nathan Prout are solely investment advisor representatives of CG Advisory Services and are not affiliated with LPL Financial. The opinions voiced in this show program are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which strategies or investments may be suitable for you, consult the appropriately qualified professional before making a decision.
WTCM News Talk 580. It is 8 after the hour, and in the studio, Prout Financial Design with New Retirement Radio every Thursday at this time, starring Mr. Dennis Prout. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Ron. It is great to be here. Thank you. On February 22nd, 2024, Thursday, for those who are listening live.
2:22.
You bet. For those who are not listening live to the rebroadcast here on Saturday, it is 2:24, of course. And for those who are listening live today, just in case you are welcome to call or write, text, correct?
Correct.
And the number is the same.
You are correct. 231 area code 9470023. You can text us or call on that line.
Yes, I am alive as far as I know. So quiet out there today. I think it's the pea soup fog.
It's a live program, but the audience has been pre-recorded.
Yes, indeed.
Well, weren't you calling it frog this morning on the way in? I was listening, and you said it was freezing fog.
Freezing fog. It's frog.
It's frog.
For sure.
It was rather thick. Now, the walk this morning was gorgeous. I mean, it was just word of the day. I call it ethereal. It's just really something. But driving, not so much. Not so much. So joining us today, as you've already may have heard, Heidi Cartwright, our own RICP. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning. It's a pleasure to be here today.
It's great to have you here with us, too, indeed. And Deanne Jennings, our own Director of Operations. Good morning, Deanne.
Good morning.
Where's Deanne? There we go.
Let's find Deanne.
Good morning. So happy to be here.
Great to have you. Thank you. Next week, we're having the Marsh Brothers on, all three.
All three.
Jamie, Mike, Marsh.
It's like the Bee Gees.
Yeah. You know, I don't think they're going to sing for us, but they're certainly going to talk for us.
We could ask.
So that should be very interesting indeed. We're looking forward to it. And we've already been communicating with them. So we're going to be talking to them about that transition that's going on in the marshland, if you will, about what's happening with them. And I think it'll help anyone related to retirement because they're making some changes. They're going to new phase. So I'm just really looking forward to hearing from them what it's been like, what they're thinking about this phase and potentially the next phase as well. We'll see.
You interviewed them a couple years ago, didn't you?
So I did. Fascinating. Back in 21, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that was fascinating because they have such a history in this community, such a darn good history. And I told them I'm honored to have them on. It'll be fun. Mm-hmm. You betcha. Yep,
absolutely.
Looking forward to it. You bet. So if you do, again, have a question, feel free to contact us. I'm going to be talking about irrational exuberance, if I can say it. The quote from Alan Greenspan. Heidi will be talking about Social Security issues related to getting questions answered and staffing things going on there. and Deanne. Lots of stats to help us out. Now, also, to make note, our lunch and learn classes have been so well received. We do have one going on in March, which is already full. But if you do want to get on the list for cancellations, that class is March 20th. Social Security, Bob Simpson, will be joining us on that day. Noon to 1. We just had the one on real estate yesterday.
A lot of good information.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm.
It was so interesting to get that perspective of the real estate market and all these ideas.
Thank you to Holly Hack for putting that information together. It was a fantastic presentation. Lots of great stats on what's going on in Traverse City,
Indeed.
The Grand Traverse region.
That's what I was going to say. Like, you hear a lot of stats about the country and in real estate, but what's going on actually in Traverse City is fantastic. You did a good job.
It's growing here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks, Dennis. So the stock market is measured by the capitalization-weighted S&P 500. Are you still with me?
Yeah.
So this is going to be more weighty today. And I want to preface what I'm saying. You know, why are you covering this, Dennis? I want to try to help us all understand more of what's going on in the markets. And I think you will find it helpful. And I do sometimes hesitate to get... Oh, I don't want to get into the technical weeds, but I think some of this information can be helpful for all of us in terms of these markets are hitting all-time highs. Are we at a danger zone? Are all these companies that are doing so well going to do what NVIDIA just did and totally
crazy.
Blow out their earnings expectations? You know, we don't know that, obviously, but we can take a look at history and help ourselves, I think, in terms of the valuations that are going on with some of these stocks in the stock market. So the stock market is measured by the S&P 500, just made an all-time high after several months of aggressively rising stock prices. It is being led by large-cap technology stocks, Google, Apple. NVIDIA is another one of them. Is it sustainable or a bubble? Now, those of you who remember Alan Greenspan really had something to say about this, and I think it's especially helpful. He said a decline in perceived risk is often self-enforcing and that it encourages presumptions of prolonged stability. The winds are never going to blow again, as it were, and thus a willingness to reach for risk over an ever more extended time period. Put another way, History cautions that extended periods of low concern about risk have invariably been followed by reversal with an attendant fall in the prices of risky assets. Now, virtually everything that Alan Greenspan owned for perspective was guaranteed stuff. Treasury bills, that sort of thing. He was extremely conservative. So risky assets might be considered by him as being stocks. Trading in the markets. Such developments reflect that not only market dynamics, but also the all-too-evident alternating and infectious bouts of human euphoria. We all get drawn up into it, given, oh my gosh, you know, this AI revolution. What is happening with artificial intelligence? The S&P 500, further noted by an article by a gentleman named Ben Inker and John Pease of GMO, S&P 500 has become an increasingly concentrated index over the past decade, with the top seven stocks now comprising 28% of the total.
Hmm.
Seven companies out of 500 being almost a third in the evaluation of the total 500 stocks, 500 companies. Isn't that amazing?
Huge.
Mm-hmm. Huge. The returns of these stocks far outpacing that of the average stock in the index. History suggests, that the next decade was likely to see a reversal of the recent pattern, with the cap-weighted version of the S&P 500 underperforming the equal-weighted version. They're simply saying most likely these large companies that are now trading at excessive PEs, some would say, PE ratios of these are in the 35 to 37 range. It means simply means that their valuations above their earnings are 35 to 37 times. The rest of the market at about 25. It simply means, for those who know math, where's a math teacher when we need her or him, huh? simply means you're here. No thanks. Is that what we're saying? Hello.
No, you said, where's a math teacher? And I said, not here.
So it simply means that the price per the earnings is very high and can tend to mean then less value. Well, if you're buying a piece of real estate, just to put it in a maybe more urban terms, if you will. Isn't the right way to say it? I don't know. Anyway, easier terms, perhaps. If you're buying a property at 2 times its income, you're getting a much better price than somebody who's buying it at 4, obviously. 4 times income. Okay? That's all that means. So, tops 10 stocks versus the S&P 500 on a forward-looking basis. Big is generally anything but beautiful. The relative returns shown by the top 10 stocks versus the S&P 500 and any relative return from 1957 through 2023, they're all negative, except for one. So the returns following, the 10-year period following these outsized returns of these large companies are all minus zero. Now, that doesn't mean that these companies are all going to be minus zero. It just means that it's going to be much more difficult for them to get a return versus some other companies, perhaps in the index, that have more value and more potential.
So what would ever cause something like Meta, Facebook, or Alphabet, Google, or Apple, or Nvidia, or Amazon to really go down? I mean, aren't they considered very safe for a long time?
They have deep moats, as they refer to them. Yeah, they have a ton of earnings, it's consistent earnings. They have great products. Well, one of their products fail. Or they get so much of the market that they start being sued by other governments, as in Google.
Or something better comes along and everyone flocks to that. I think we've talked on the show before how those top groups, like the top stocks, if you look like 20 years ago and what they are now, there's very few that are still in there that were in there 20 years ago. So there is changeover and progress and new technology. So who knows?
It'd be tough, like, to beat Amazon at what they do, I suppose, but Walmart or Target or someone could eat into their online business.
Absolutely. Yeah. NVIDIA is so brand new. Yeah. You know, their CEO, it was an incredible interview about 4 or 5 months ago, talked about the number of hours, sleepless nights, and just huge amounts of time he committed to making his company successful, and how he said the next day, I mean, in any period of my business life, could always seem to me almost ruined because he was that close, that on the edge. And he said, it still feels that way today. So when they just blew out, I think it was over $2 billion in earnings above the estimate for the last quarter. Their demand is so far above supply. It's just, it's incredible to see. So, but that, to continue that kind of growth. Now, I'm not saying it's not going to happen with NVIDIA. In fact, they may be an outlier regarding that. But it's just very difficult to continue that kind of outpaced growth because there always seem to be some sort of a headwind or some other company that steps in and is a competitor. You get how that is. I mean, you can only, every once in a while, you need to take a break. Well, I didn't feel like working out today, or whatever that was. We need breaks personally, and companies are made up of people, and sometimes they need a break. That new technology, this whole AI revolution, just starting to take hold in terms of companies being able to take advantage of it. And those stats are bearing out. We're just starting to see companies like UPS. And what was the other one?
FedEx.
Not necessarily, but UPS and another taking significant advantage of of AI. Oh. So we'll see where that comes in. But this revolution, it takes a while for companies to be able to use that new technology to such an extent that it causes that sort of an increase in productivity, which we may be at. And we'll talk about that here momentarily.
By the way, I just looked up your NVIDIA. 1 year ago, it was trading at 207 and change.
So sad.
207. Now it's at 776.75 right now.
Yeah. A little bit of an increase there.
Yeah, about 3.5 times, right?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Nice.
Dennis, you kind of hit on an interesting point with the idea, like, change in leadership within a company could totally change performance. You know, they have top leadership now in these, you know, top 7 stocks, but maybe that will change and change
Correct.
The performance.
Yes. Mm-hmm. The market sits on pins and needles when leadership changes within a company. Mm-hmm. Because you obviously want that success to continue if that's been the case. But it's very difficult to continue it so many times. We saw that with GE years ago. There's a great example. Jack Welch, now some are critical of him these days, but his number of years of success were incredible. But they've not been able to continue that.
And then at
that.
Apple, there was a lot of concern. And one thing that you do read about now about Apple is people are like, they're not bringing out things as quickly as they used to. The innovation seems to have slowed. So, you know, those are challenges for a more mature company to keep up that pace and to keep up that innovation and new thing.
Mm-hmm. Yep. This performance came in part from the unusual cheapness of mega caps at the start of the decade. Apple, Microsoft, and Google. Now, we're going to talk again about price earnings ratios. But the P.E. ratio in 2013 of these three companies, Apple, Microsoft, and Google, boy, those were the days, 15 times. Today, it's 37 times. Doesn't take a rocket scientist to say, well, that's more than double.
Right.
And you're getting half the value per the earnings generated from that company. I always wanted to be a stock picker, Dennis. You just taught me how. Well, not really, but you know what I'm saying. So when you're thinking about having stocks in your portfolio, what do you own? Does it still make sense? Is the risk excessive? Diversification, again, has never been so important. You most likely have mutual funds, frankly, that include these companies. But keep in mind, more value-orientated, maybe even smaller cap could make sense. Try to diversify out from mutual funds that own just this, such as in the S&P 500 index, because it could improve your returns over time. The cap-weighted S&P is a rather awkward index today. It looks like a 70-30 split, as we were referenced, of the regular index, with 493 companies and 7 ginormous, often expensive businesses. One reason to want to own them, however, is their quality. These companies have very deep moats, as we've already referenced. So there is a reason to own them potentially in the future as well. It's just as in anything, buyer beware, and also to give us a history and perspective on all of this. That, you know, don't count on all of your problems being solved by a very few companies that solved your problems over the last 10 years, is what I'm saying. So if you're too concentrated in one area, watch out. Just that necessarily then, it can create more risk to your particular portfolio. Fortune magazine's list of the world's most admired companies was released last week, and it reminds us that the most popular stocks aren't always the best investments. Several research studies have found that not only do shares of the average most admired companies fail to beat the market, but they even underperform the average company at the bottom of the Fortune's list. Furthermore, shares of companies whose Fortune rankings increase in a given year proceed to underperform those whose rankings fall on average. So it simply means the most popular stocks today, the ones most recognized, can wind up being the dogs of tomorrow.
Ah.
Okay.
Hey, what? Look at the graph there, S&P 500 performance over the last year. And it was like at the beginning of November, end of October, pretty steady uphill climb.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Any particular reason for that, you think? I mean, why it just...
Are you looking from October of 23 there, sir?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, there it is. So
that was the low.
That was the low.
That was the low, yeah.
Yeah, the steady increase was mostly due, I think, to the Fed saying now the end of the interest rate uptick cycle. In essence, they said in so many words, we think we're going to be able to start cutting rates here. We're getting much closer, if you will, they said, to being able to control inflation through our incendiary inflation, or rather interest rate increases.
Got it.
Then one last note before we take a break here. The opposing view to this and the chasm, if you will, the graph below indicates where we are in the AI adoption cycle, artificial intelligence. The big scary chasm on the graph below is our current position on in the AI discovery and adoption cycle. We have a long way to go, and the payoff for a broad range of companies is a great improvement in their productivity. Therefore, I expect big cap tech to remain at the top of the above list for a long time ahead, and I expect them in total to outperform the overall stock market. So look at that. There you go, the opposing view. These companies are sitting on something that is revolutionary today. There's gold in them there, Hills, as we said a couple of weeks ago in our email blast.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it's incredible what's happening. You always want to play defense in terms of a portfolio, but playing offense may have gotten a little more dicey in terms of risk. And in terms of returns or rewards, we'll see. On the other side of that, history shows that given the decline that we saw in 2022, the 10 years following tend to be very good overall, regardless of who's in the White House. I know you all wanted to hear that one.
Well, I just like the period of time you said we're in, the big scary chasm. That makes you feel a lot of comfort, right?
Yeah, it does. That chasm is showing that we are at the very beginning of the AI revolution, just to put a point to it, okay? And just so you can see there, Ron,
look at
it's that tiny very beginning. We're not even close, okay?
So we're between the early adopters and the early majority. So.
Yes, and then the late majority, and then the laggards way out there at the end. So we have, according to this graph, a long way to go in this cycle. So, man, it's an exciting time frame, exciting time period. At the same time, be aware, what are your needs? What are your particular needs? That's what we talk about on a daily basis with our clients, our own little advertisement there. If you do want to call and schedule the time, our phone number at the office is 231-947-3992. Today is George Washington's birthday. George Washington.
Happy birthday, George.
Amazing. Major Washington and 150 soldiers traveled to the Ohio Valley to fight for Virginia's claim of the land. This is in 1754. You were saying just before the break, Ron, he was born in 1732. Yeah. So Westmoreland County, Virginia.
So he was 22 years old.
In essence, yeah. 22 at that point, yes. Huh. 1754. As part of the campaign, Washington's men engaged in a combative confrontation with French soldiers. Following this skirmish, Washington and his men retreated to the makeshift Fort Necessity, where Washington was soon forced to surrender. This event deeply embarrassed Washington, and he resigned his commission. The failed campaign sparked the French and Indian War. That's huge.
Yeah.
Then in 1755, a year later, Washington returned to the Ohio frontier as a volunteer aide for General Braddock. During a battle between the French and the British near the Monongahela River, Say that three times. Washington exhibited great courage and leadership. He was later recognized for his conduct in battle with a promotion and was given command of the entire military force of Virginia. 1770, hang on a moment. Here we go. He was in... Okay, here we go. 1775. The newly formed Congress appointed George Washington to be the commander of the Continental Army. Washington held this position for the entirety of the American Revolution, totaling 8 years. Some of his campaigns, you've seen and read about that. It's amazing what the hardships they had to put up with. The Indians, the American Indians, referred to him as... it's a name I couldn't even pronounce. It stood for yellow because of his hair. But they maintained it was impossible to hit. They shot so many times at him, and it was almost as though things would glance off. They counted him almost a ghost. Talk about a brave man in his time. Talk about a founder of a country. Thank you to George Washington. As I was reviewing this, I mentioned to Heidi we could do a whole show on George Washington. What a revolutionary beginning, eh?
Yes.
We'll take it. All right, Heidi, Social Security.
Yeah.
Tell us, what's happening with the Social Security Administration?
Right, so this is an article that is comes to us through the EdSlack group. It's their Social Security newsletter. And they're talking about some of the problems they've seen at the Social Security Administration. And they said, you know, it's an important thing for people to be aware because this is one of the most important decisions that they make about their retirement income is when and how they're going to take Social Security. So they have been receiving stories about misinformation and some of the problems at the Social Security Administration, and they gave us a couple of examples. And their first example was a woman named Helen, who is 63, and she was recently widowed. And she was trying to gather information about collecting widow benefits. And she planned to work through April of 2024, so this was a few years ago. And before retiring, she wanted to work, but she wanted to get her widow benefits. But when she went to Social Security, the rep told her that she would need to wait until 2025 to file for benefits due to her earnings in 2024. Because as we've discussed on the show, if you earn, there's an earnings limitation if you're receiving your Social Security benefits. What they didn't tell her is that because earnings that are made prior to retirement, they may be disregarded under the monthly earnings test rule. So your earnings are only after you retire and you claim. They don't count before you make that. And so she was sort of misdirected there. And so she visited with her financial advisor, which helped her figure out a better plan for her on how to make a combination of taking those widow benefits and then switching to her own Social Security benefit later on and maximizing the amount of income that she could get over her lifetime.
So taking her widow's benefit earlier and then her own particular personal benefit later in this case.
Right. And then another, when she was talking with them, she also asked what would happen if she remarried, if she started taking her widow benefits. And they told her that it would disqualify her and that she would have to repay anything she had been paid. Well, that is incorrect information. Mm. Remarriage after the age of 60 does not disqualify a claimant from widow's benefits, and nor would they go back and take those benefits back. So this was just one example they used to show how by the people who there may not always give you the information that you need to make a good decision. So you want to be out there asking professionals, seeing your financial advisor or some other professional that can give you another opinion or help you with that strategy. because it can be important.
When it gets complex or you have complex issues, you may get the correct answer from Social Security, but I would suggest, as in any other more complex situation, double check with other advisors and website itself, ssa.gov, can be extremely helpful in many of these situations as well.
Right. So if you're reading something on information and it doesn't seem to go with the advice that you're getting, seek out a second opinion.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, depending on what you're reading, it can be extremely wrong. You know, journalists have been known to be wrong in the past.
Yes.
Just saying.
So they posed the question in the article, why is there seem to be a lowering of customer service at Social Security? The article had talked about the dissatisfaction going up, according to their surveys. And they said, well, one contributing factor is that there has been a 22% increase in Social Security beneficiaries. So people receiving Social Security has gone up 22%. But the staffing levels are at a 25-year low. So fewer workers serving more people. And so you can see how that would contribute to some of the confusion out there.
It kind of reflects the bad equation that is Social Security right now, where they have less money coming in because of fewer workers and more people claiming benefits.
Yes, yeah. That's a part of it.
Okay.
All-time record numbers of folks this year turning 65, Ron.
Yes.
Can you imagine that?
I cannot.
Some people turning 65 this year.
Anyone here?
They all want their Social Security benefits.
Yeah.
That's important. So another part of the survey goes on to talk about how people are experiencing longer wait times. And the average wait time right now is 36 minutes, with many callers waiting much longer than that. Well, why is this a concern and why do we bring it to your attention? Well, the reason we do that is because if you have a change or something that you need to question on your Social Security, you don't want to wait. You want to give yourself plenty of time to be able to get questions answered. And they had an example here of a couple who had they'd been receiving their benefits over a number of years, and the money goes right into their checking account, working great. Well, they had an issue with their checking account, some kind of fraud issue, and they had to change their checking account number. And that's where the problem started in, because they waited until right before the next distribution was coming, and they called and they waited 45 minutes on the phone. They got on and the call got dropped.
Ooh.
Well, here it is, Friday afternoon, and the hotline or the number that you can call at Social Security is open from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. So they were starting to get worried. They had to call back, and they got in under the wire, but to change that account number, and then the deposit did go to the right account. So they thought everything was solved. So as time goes on, a couple months later, the wife received her payment one month, but the husband didn't. The husband had the higher Social Security amount, and this was causing them stress and unable to pay some of their bills. So they had to go back and call Social Security again. So in essence, they spent 4 to 5 hours on the phone trying to get through, in both of these circumstances, to try to get this changed. So the reason we bring this again to your attention is make sure you give yourself plenty of time. Expect delays. Build that into your plan of notifying, and notify as soon as possible. Don't wait until you're expecting something. And then always go back and check that you received that.
The change. You receive the income or whatever it is, the benefit that you're expecting from Social Security. Mm. Make certain then double check the deposits have been made and that sort of thing, if that's the case from Social Security.
Because you can imagine the frustration, just it pushes everybody, and then everybody's tense about getting these problems solved. Another area they tell people to be aware of is if you're going to claim disability claims for Social Security. So Social Security will provide disability benefits to people who qualify. And remember, that bar for qualifying is very high. First, you have to qualify by your medical condition to receive it. But then also they talked about how in the 2010s, it took 110 to 120 days to get that application processed. Today, it's taking up to 228 days on average. That's almost twice as long. So with disability insurance, you can see that it's taking an inordinate more amount of time. They also mentioned that out of those applications that they receive, it's only about 35% that are actually approved and accepted. Now, you can appeal that decision, and out of appealing that decision, only 13% of the appeals are approved. So it can be an arduous process to get that processed.
Plan on almost a year to get approved, then, it sounds like, to me, for a disability benefit, if that's what you qualify for. And that's the complete and total inability, from my understanding, to do any gainful employment. So it's a significant disability that's required to qualify.
It's a high bar.
It is, indeed.
Yeah. Another area that is starting to become more problematic is overpayments. There has been a surge in overpayments, which occur when the agency sends you more money than you're entitled to. Now, I always like getting more money, but if you're not entitled to it, they will catch up with you at some point and want you to pay that back. When this happens, usually the trigger for this is something like maybe you have a child who's receiving Social Security and they age out, or you don't notify Social Security of a change in circumstance. And it is beholden on the recipient to inform Social Security of any substantial change in the circumstance. But to be aware that if they are you're getting overpaid, eventually they'll catch up with you. And
I'll bet you they charge you interest on that, too.
I don't know.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Good question, Ron. Well, don't know.
And it can be substantial, and that can upset your budget, or even if you have to draw on your additional investments to satisfy that. So my final point, it's sort of an interesting point, is they kept talking about the peak 65. And peak 65 refers to 2024 as the year when more Americans are turning age 65 than in any other year in history. So the new 65ers number is roughly 12,000 per day, or 4.4 million in 2024. That's up from 10,000 in 2011 when the boomer trend started. And I think Dennis tried to look up and see what is going to be the peak year.
Yeah, and it is 2025, it looks like. I was thinking 50% of the people in this room, Ron, are turning 65 this year.
So just like the national stats, practically.
You're in the peak group.
Right.
Colleen's partying in the back.
Oh, my
gosh.
60% of the people here.
The number of people here at TCM who are turning 65 this year is incredible. Talk about the baby boomer generation, right? Wow.
Wow.
Yeah, so all the way, I think it's through 2029. I looked, anyway, I didn't copy it, but there are more than 4 million people per year turning age 65. So a huge change.
And
a revolution,
all be
if you will.
Money out of that Social Security fund.
At some point, yeah, if they aren't already, you betcha. Next, stats from Deanne Jennings, please.
Absolutely. The week ending February 12, 2024, was the fifth straight week that the S&P 500 rallied at least 1%. That was the longest streak since 2016, and just the 13th five-week streak of 1% gains in the post-World War II period. And that source is Bespoke.
13 weeks since World War II. Wow.
Yeah. Bank of America's Financial Wellness Index tracks consumer behavior related to expenses, credit card debts, plans for the unexpected, preparedness for retirement, debt, and preservation of assets. In 2023, the average financial wellness score for those with household incomes between $40,000 and $100,000 declined to a score of 51 out of 100 from 55 in Q3 and 57 at the end of 2022. And that source is Bank of America.
That's
so almost a 10% decline from the end of 2022.
Yeah.
Well, wow. It's just sort of not very happy stat because half the people are not prepared.
Yeah, that's they're right. Not ready. A record 12.1 million renter households, or 27% of all renters, were severely cost burdened at the end of 2022, meaning they spent more than 50% of their income on rent and utilities. According to a recent Harvard study, the total number of people experiencing homelessness in unsheltered locations also hit an all-time high of more than 256,000 in 2023, and that source is Harvard University.
Question. I wonder what Traverse City is like in that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I had a stat on that the other day. I had
it's gotta be high.
The average rent's pretty high in Traverse City.
Yeah. But what about those who are homeless? I guess that's what I'm referencing. Mm. So my question is, this total number of people experiencing homelessness in unsheltered locations hit an all-time high. So I'm just wondering if Traverse City is following that trend.
Well, Traverse City has, yep, they're at capacity, I think, at Safe Harbor.
Safe Harbor.
Mm-hmm. But
what a great reputation they have, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. That'd be really interesting to know.
The more they find homes for, though, they may have more coming in.
True.
Because it's an attractive destination for homeless people, Traverse City, because they have good facilities.
And because they're better taken care of than they might be elsewhere.
Yeah.
Is that what you're saying?
Yep.
Okay. Was there a question or something? Okay, sorry. Okay, sorry. Go ahead, Deanne, please.
Yeah, the Secure 2.0 Act included a provision allowing employers to match workers' student loan payments with a 401k match. The uptake of this provision, however, has been slow. According to a recent survey, 64% of employers have no plan to add the benefit compared to just 4.7% who already offer it. One reason for not offering it, it's too complicated. And that source is National Association of Plan Advisors.
It's to me, it's so obtuse. For an employer to try to match the worker's student loan payments with a matching 401k contribution, how do you confirm that? How do you know that that's continuing? It just seems like an impossible thing to follow.
Right.
No kidding.
It's the barrier, the complexity is a barrier.
Right.
Yeah. So
they're trying to help, but is it really a help if it's
exact complex?
It's too obtuse in my mind. There's no way. Yeah, go ahead, the answer.
January's higher than expected consumer price index was driven in a large part by auto-related expenses. On a year-over-year basis, maintenance and repair costs increased by 6.5%, and auto insurance costs surged to 20.6%. According to AAA, the average annual cost to own and operate a new car in 2023 was $12,182, or 35% of the average MSRP for a new car. And that source is Bureau of Labor Statistics and AAA.
12 grand a year, Ron, or about a third of the cost of a new car. Can you imagine? I didn't know it was 12 grand a year. I mean, what do I know? I operate a car, but I didn't realize that was the average.
Mm-hmm. Average cost for a new car.
A new car in 2023. Mm-hmm.
Is what did you say? 48,000 for a new car. The average cost for the car.
The car,
yeah.
And this is just to operate.
Yeah, 12 grand is then about 25% of that amount. Mm-hmm. About a quarter of it.
Yeah. Young people don't want cars. They can't afford them.
No kidding. Mm-hmm. Yeah. See more people riding these EV bikes and all the rest.
Right.
You bet. It's amazingly expensive. So how much time do we have here, Ron?
We've got about a minute to a minute and a half.
All right. Thank you, Deanne, by the way.
You're welcome.
So there's one last point from here I thought was really interesting. C.S. Lewis coined the term chronological snobbery. According to Lewis, the definition of chronological snobbery is the uncritical acceptance of the intellectual climate of our own age and the assumption that whatever has gone out of date is on that count discredited. I don't think that happens today to you, Ron.
No.
It's crazy. In our minds, it is how humans undercut the wisdom of the past by assuming that we are much more advanced in our current day. I underlined that. These snobbish ideas promulgate from some type until some type of militaristic, economic, or social event hits our society. Then everyone recognizes their cognitive shortcomings and vows to never be so blind again. I think others would refer to that as humble pie or humility. This blindness is a natural progression of humans. We believe progress gets us beyond the foolishness of the past. But in reality, we make the same mistakes again. And there are some several examples within this of past recessions and 1929, the market is permanently higher, all those kinds of great statements made by supposed experts of the time. So hopefully that adds to the knowledge level out there. And thank you for listening to WTCM with Ron Jolly and the clan here on Thursday.
Prout Financial Design, it's new retirement radio. Heidi, Dennis, and Deanne, thank you all.